for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow of your blood. Lord Jesus Christ, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be our God Most High. Blessed be the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to do us wondrous things. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing is too difficult for thee. We thank you, Lord, that at your heart is our best interest. Lord, we know that you love us, Lord. Lord, we know sometimes, Lord, we go through trials and circumstances and situations. Lord, them things come, Lord, to build us, Lord. And we, sometimes when we're in the midst of the trial, Lord, we can't see the good. But your word teaches us and declares that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to the Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, according to your purpose, Lord, we have been called. Lord Jesus, you knew us before the foundation of the world. Lord God, already before ever there was man created, The Lamb was already slain to take care of what was going to come. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the remedy for sin and thy precious blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that man can be healed from his inherent disease called sin. Lord, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ is not a temporary cure, but it is a permanent state of a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Lord Jesus, sometimes in the flesh, Lord, we fail, Lord. We don't do what we ought to do. But Lord Jesus Christ, there's an inward man. There's an inward seed that sinneth not, because it's the redeemed of the Lord, because it's purchased on the spoken word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for that. We ask you, Lord, this morning, Lord, for seeds that are lying yet dormant, that haven't yet responded to the light. Pray, Lord, that the light will shine in the darkness, Lord, and that they'll respond, and the seeds will germinate and come forth, Lord, even as you would call them, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask you, Lord, especially this morning for those in our families that are not yet saved. We're believing you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have made atonement even for them. For Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, justification is greater than condemnation. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that your blood can reach to the farthest soul away, even as we sing. Lord Jesus, your love reaches to the farthest soul away. The psalmist David said, if I made his bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If he took the wings of the morning and ascended to the highest parts of the earth, behold, thou art there. He said, whither shall I go from thy presence, O Lord? Lord, we know you're omnipresent. We know, Lord, that no matter where a man or woman may stoop to, the love of Jesus knows no boundaries. We sing the little chorus, it's so low you can't get under it. It's so wide we can't get around it. So high we can't get above it. Oh, what wonderful love. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that so is your love and so is your arms around us to look after us and to take care of us. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll know your touch this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless the one that brings thy word this morning and bless the preaching of thy word. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will do a work with the word that man cannot do. We pray, Lord, that souls will be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that bodies also will be healed, for your word declares that by his stripes we are healed. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the whipping post. We thank you, Lord, for the crucifixion. Even, Lord, for the thorns that you took upon your brow, and the beating, Lord, and the mockery, and the scourging that you took for us, Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee praise and thanks, for, Lord, you alone were the only one who could endure the cross. Lord, no other man could have endured what you endured. But Lord Jesus, not only did you endure the cross, but you triumphed over it when you rose from the dead. We thank you, Lord, that the grave is empty this morning and the stone has been rolled away. We pray, Lord, this morning that you'll bless each head that's bowed and all those that are listening in via Facebook or via the internet or some other means, Lord. We just ask you that you'll bless them now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for the unsaved, we pray you'll save. For the sick, we pray you'll heal. For those that's needing deliverance, we pray you'll deliver them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, now we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise, for it belongs to thee. And we ask you, Lord, that we'll feel your presence here this morning. In Jesus Christ's loving name we pray, giving God the glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we sing number 532 in the Redemption Hymn Book? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. 532 in the Redemption Hymn Book. We've got your books with you.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grace to bear. What a privilege to carry him.
Each and every one, and we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning. And it's good to gather together as we see the day approaching, as the Word of God says. And we still have no hall, and we're not allowed in a hall yet, so we have to do whatever we can do in between. And this is what we're doing, and we thank God for the opportunity we have here, and brother, for letting us have this yard to have the drive-in service. And I do appreciate each and every one that's come, and those that's listening in as well. The Lord bless you. I give you all a warm welcome in the name of the Lord this morning. And we are looking to the Lord. I've received several testimonies this week from different parts of the world, as far as Melbourne, Australia, where the Lord has touched and healed people. And even on the preaching on healing, several people as well have changed their ideas from what they used to believe. Because, as you know, it's been taught in many organizations that it might not be God's will to do certain things. And it's wonderful the experts that there is that's fit to tell what God can't do. But I'm here to tell you today what God can do and what God's able to do. And my authority is the Word of God. It's not my own idea or somebody else's figment of his imagination, but the Word of God. And we believe, as the man of God said, we have no book but the Bible, no creed but Christ. And that's our motto, and that's our means, and that's all we need is the Lord. And thank God for his word. This morning, I want to preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. I know I've preached this message many times. And I'll tell you one thing about that. One thing I've learned. That if you have a truth, it'll always be a truth. And the truth will never need altered nor changed. But you can say it again and again, and it'll work again and again, because it is a truth. And the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ is such a truth that it cleanses and it heals and it delivers still today. And I want us to see what the Word of God says about it. 10 impossibilities if the blood of Christ perished. And sad to say, there is preachers, and they preach a bloodless message. And in my reckoning, that means they have no message, when you have a bloodless message. But I thank God there's power in the blood of Jesus. I want to read you from Hebrews 9, verse 22 and 23. And I quoted many of these scriptures last week, and I thank God for His word. Hebrews 9, verse 22 and 23. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Let us bow our heads again for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before Thee in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee on this 12th of July morning that we can come and preach about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that the blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Father, we pray that You remind every one of us of the preciousness and the power of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, if there's a man or a woman that's never washed in this precious blood, may the Spirit of the Lord speak to them. May the Spirit of the Lord move them. And may they wash in the blood of the Lamb and be clean this morning. Father, I would ask that You would wash every one of us afresh and the crimson flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, I do take the Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank You that You do, in Jesus Christ's name. Strengthen all our brethren that we've been praying for. Lord, continue to work on them and raise them up, and touch all that's here today, and do the miracle that's needed done, and save the lost, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to read a statement by the great C.H. Spurgeon. And I believe Spurgeon was a wonderful servant of God. Very few men there has been in life like the great C.H. Spurgeon. There are some preachers who cannot nor do not preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. I have one thing to say to you concerning them. Never go to hear them. A ministry that is not the blood in it is lifeless and dead. A dead ministry and good for nobody. That's what Spurgeon says about preachers. Here's one of the most important things. Number one, the impossibility of forgiveness of sins. You cannot have your sins forgiven if there's no blood. If there's no blood, there's no sins can be forgiven. For it's only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ can our sins be forgiven. We have had a substitute that would die for us and shed His blood, and that is the lovely person of the God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became our substitute. He died for us. He shed His blood for us. Blood had to be shed so that sins could be forgiven. God decreed that only by the death, by blood shedding, can sins be forgiven. Forgiveness only comes by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through church religion. It doesn't come through a handshake. It doesn't come by raising your hand either. It doesn't come by an organization. It only comes through the precious blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The remission of our sins is impossible if the blood of Jesus Christ is not literally shed. Death by blood shedding is the inflexible divine law of God. No man can change this. This is the eternal, unalterable truth. Not just symbolic blood. The blood of Christ is literally blood and literally shed blood. Thank God for the shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Number two, the impossibility of redemption being accomplished. There can be no redemption without blood shedding. No redemption. So if you have a religion that doesn't have a savior in it, you have no religion. All you have is an occult or an organization. There has to be a savior. There has to be a redeemer in your message and in your religion for you to be redeemed. Hebrews 9 and 12 tells us, neither by the blood of goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ came to fulfill God's holy law, and at his advent, he made actual through the virgin birth this happening, this taking place. Let me read you this. Then God, the greatest that filled all time and space, became down to one little germ, to the womb of a woman. And then I said, when we are saved today, Jesus was neither Jew nor Gentile, because God produced everything. That blood had the life. The Bible said we are saved by the blood of God, see. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was God. Therefore, when we come to the altar and put our hands by faith upon his head and feel the tearing and the agony of Calvary and confess our sins that we are wrong and he died in our place. I tell you, we are saved by the blood of God. It was God's blood that was in the veins of Jesus. Every other blood was corruptible blood. Every other blood was sin-stained. All are born in sin. All are shaped in iniquity. But Jesus Christ had no sin. Jesus Christ knew no sin. The blood that was in him had no original sin in it. There was no act of adultery committed. There was no sin ever in his blood. Therefore, his blood's pure blood, unadulterated blood. No death was in the blood of Jesus. No corruption was in the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that precious blood. Hebrews 10 and 8 tells us, and when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Christ fulfilled the law to the pleasing of the Father. The law of ceremonial types, Christ also totally fulfilled them. He came not to destroy the law, but to establish it. He fulfilled it. No other man could fulfill it. Every man broke the law. Every man falls short of the law. But Christ fulfilled it. And he done even more than that. He abolished it. Did you know that? Thank God for that this morning. Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12. But Christ becoming an high priest of good things to come, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus Christ obtained eternal redemption for us. And we read here how he obtained it. He obtained it because he entered heaven with his own blood. For the word of God tells us, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly. The blood of Jesus Christ reached as far as heaven, so that me and you could go to heaven. I tell you, you could never go to heaven if Jesus hadn't took his blood to heaven. But because of the blood of Jesus was took to heaven, you and me can go to heaven. Because Jesus Christ has obtained eternal redemption for us. You know what redemption means? You know what redeemed means? To be bought back. We were owned by the devil. Every one of us. Don't ever kid yourself. Don't ever fool yourself. Don't ever let no man or woman fool you to tell you they're a good person. That's a lie to start with. Jesus Christ said, there's none good, no, not one. Every one of us was born sinners. Every one of us were children of the devil by nature and by wrath. Ephesians is clear on that. That's why we needed redeemed, bought back. Bought back from the hands of the devil. Bought back from the hands of the enemy. And we've been bought back with the precious blood of Jesus. We have been redeemed. Hallelujah. You know, I found a wee second-hand book the other day. I think it was the brother Rice, or Ryan, J.C. Ryan. And he was asked the question, can one lose their salvation? And he said they can, if they've got it by works. If you've got your salvation by your good works, you can definitely lose it. But if you've got salvation by Jesus Christ, you can never lose it. There's a big difference. There's a lot of people have got salvation because they've worked. They've got their salvation. They've worked for their salvation. They've turned a leaf and worked for their salvation. That's the type of salvation can be lost. But if you realize you're a held a servant, guilty sinner, and there's not one thing in you or me good enough, and we needed the Savior, and you plunge yourself for the mercy of God and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, then you receive this redemption of Jesus Christ and His salvation, and it'll last for all eternity, and you never can lose it, for it was the Lord's. I thought it was tremendous what he said. Number three, the impossibility of salvation completed. I tell you, when you take the blood out of the message, it doesn't leave you much. Sure it doesn't. Leviticus 9:22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And I want to tell you that Aaron could not bless the people until he offered blood. There was no blessing till the blood was offered. Now, we're Pentecostal, or we're meant to be. Now, there's a lot of people today claim to be Pentecostal, but they're no more Pentecostal than the cows are in the field. A Pentecostal's a man and a woman that's filled with the fire and the power of God, and has had an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this morning, there never could be a Pentecost until there was a Calvary. There never could be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit until the blood of Jesus was shed. And here in Leviticus 9:22, we see that in a perfect picture. That Aaron could not bless the people, and he could not put the blessing upon them until the blood was shed first and sprinkled upon the people. In the Old Testament types, the way of salvation was symbolically exhibited. The sacrificial offerings, blood shedding, blood sprinkling, resulted in the blessing of God. When Aaron the high priest and his sons had finished the work of the blood shedding and blood sprinkling, they were able to call down the blessing of Almighty God. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're well saved, and maybe you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But maybe the devil's told you there's something in your life that's not forgiven. There's something in your life that's holding you back. I want to tell you, brother and sister, this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And this is God's divine law, and this is God's word. And when the blood has been shed, and when the blood has been offered, and you have asked the blood to come on you, and you have laid your hands on the sacrifice, the blessing of God can come on you. The blessing of God will come on you. God cannot break that. God cannot change that. It has to happen because it is the word of God. And if God could do it in the days of Aaron, under a sacrifice that was nothing compared to the sacrifice of Jesus, how much more can he do it today under the ultimate sacrifice of Christ on the cross? The name of God was put on the people because the blood was put on them. Hebrews 9, verse 18 to 21. Whereupon, neither was the first testament dedicated without blood. Everything that they were going to do, everything that they were going to put their hand on, the very utensils, the very door of the veil, everything had to be sprinkled with blood. Everything had to be dedicated with blood. There was nothing that could be done without the blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats and the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book on all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. No blood, no blessing, no blessing, no salvation. Aren't you glad for the blood that you can have the blessing? Aren't you glad for the blood that you can have the salvation? Number four, the impossibility of blood being seen. People, you see, I've heard preachers, and they think they're preaching well, and they dismiss the chemistry of the blood, and they speak against the chemistry of the blood, and they spend their whole message to do away with the blood. Well, I'm sorry, my whole message is to talk about it. Because without the shedding of blood is no remission. The impossibility of blood being seen. You say, how can you see the blood? I tell you, God can see it. God can see it. Not only can God see it, God requires to see it. It's not so much about you seeing it. It's not so much about me seeing it. It's about God seeing it. Exodus 12, verse 13, verse 21 to 23 as well, of Exodus 12. Now you see, you cannot break these scriptures because somebody has had a nice version or a saying. What use is a nice saying of a man if it's not scriptural? If it's not within the foundation of this book, its word, and its hay and its stubble. Verse 13 of Exodus 12, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are." And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, is that in your Bible? It's in mine. When I see the blood, God requires to see the blood. This was God's divine requirement. When I see the blood, God requires to see it then. God requires to see it now. "I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Verse 21. "Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two sides of the posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through that to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you." God required to see this blood. Oh, I want you to get this morning. Don't go down the road of talking about the chemistry as if it's nothing. Because you cannot talk about the blood of Jesus like any other blood. Get it out of your head that it's dried up and congealed and withered away like some blood of an animal. The blood of Jesus is not the blood of an animal. It's not the blood of a bullock. It's not the blood of an ordinary lamb. But it's called the precious blood of Jesus in the Word of God. The lamb was not what God looked upon here. The blood in the basin was not what God looked upon. The blood applied was what God looked upon. God required the blood to be applied. The blood had to be, the lamb was sacrificed, the blood was captured in the basin. But then the blood had to be applied. And we must apply the blood of Jesus by faith upon our lives. If you're ever going to be saved, you need to apply the blood of Jesus yourself. Your mother can't do it. Your father can't do it. God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Every man, every woman must come their own way to the Lord and apply the blood of Jesus on themselves. It was the blood applied which God looked upon. The father of the house saw it. The family of the house saw it. The firstborn of the house saw it. Best of all, God saw it. But thanks be to God, God himself saw it. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover lamb, just like they had a Passover lamb then, and they had to apply the blood to be saved, and they killed their Passover lamb. They applied the blood on the doorposts, and we must apply it on the doorposts of our heart, on our life. We must apply the blood of Jesus Christ by faith, and God will see that blood. Number five, the impossibility of the blood being sprinkled. Hebrews 12:24, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. And the blood speaketh better things than that of evils, and we saw that last week. You cannot sprinkle blood that's congealed. You cannot sprinkle blood that's perished. You cannot sprinkle blood that's lost. You cannot sprinkle blood that's corrupted. You cannot sprinkle blood that's extinct. But I thank God this morning the blood of Jesus is not corrupted. It's not lost. It's not congealed. It's not extinct. But the blood of Jesus is as well. It's as alive today as it was the moment it was shed. It's as powerful this morning as it ever was to cleanse from all sin. Thank God for the old song. Thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved of sin no more. Let me read you this. This brother saw this vision. You know the vision. He saw the woman. He condemned her. How many of us would be guilty today? We look at people in their sin. We look at people in their lost condition, and we're quick to condemn them. Quick to condemn them because of how they're dressed. Quick to condemn them because they don't match up to our religious philosophies. We're all guilty. But don't forget, the Bible says Jesus Christ came to save sinners. If we were to look at our own lives before the Lord took control, we were the filthiest, dirtiest things there was. Oh, we were absolutely not much better than the pigs and the hogs. And if you think you were, you're still lost. A man must realize he's absolutely lost without Jesus Christ before he can be saved. Now, I know we're saved. And doesn't Paul say some of us were fornicators? Some of us were adulterers. But now we're in Christ Jesus. But here he looks at this woman. She's not dressed too well. He's condemning her. Here's what he says. And I seen the world turning, and I noticed around it was a streak like red all around. And I wondered what it was. And as I drew close, I seen myself as a boy. And when I would sin, well then, I seen Jesus standing in front between me and God, and his blood act as a bumper. Every time I'd do anything wrong, it would hit him. And he'd say, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. And I'd do something else, and then it was just like the bumper of the car. Keep me. Can't stand sin the day when you sin, you're gone, that's all. But the blood of Jesus was protecting me. The wrath of God, from the wrath of God, and my sin wouldn't catch it. And he said, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. And I looked and I said, Lord, it's my sin treating you like that. And the blood running down his face. And I looked and crawled up a little closer, and I seen a book there. And my name was at the top, and all kinds of sin wrote in it. And I said, will you forgive me? And he touched his side and wrote, pardoned. And thrown it over in the back behind him in the sea of forgetfulness. And I said, oh, how I appreciate you, Lord. And he said, now I will. I was willing to forgive you your sins. But you want to condemn her for hers. And I tell you, there's not, none of us can look down our noses at somebody else and point the finger at them. For every one of us is here today because of God's mercy, because of God's grace. And here this poor woman, she was a sinner, and he come to find out she was backslidden. She'd gotten away from the Lord. And when that servant of God changed his attitude, the Holy Spirit came on the scene. The power of God came on the scene. And there he spoke to her, and he brought her right back to the Lord. And she gave her heart back to the Lord. And she came and was washed afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, this morning, Jesus loves the backslidden. He's forever married to the backslider. If you're listening in and you're backslidden, you can come back to the Lord today. The Lord loves you today. The Lord can clean you fresh. He can wash you fresh. Your sins will be thrown behind him into the sea of his great forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you no more. The apex of glory in Emmanuel's land is the blood of sprinkling. If Christ's blood had not been preserved and sprinkled on the mercy seat, Almighty God, in no way could sinners be ever reconciled to God. You say, but you don't know the sin I've committed. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. All manner of sins shall be forgiven except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. All manner of sin can be forgiven. Adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, cheating. Jesus Christ can forgive it all. The blood of sprinkling. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:23. And it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves were the better sacrifice than these. Oh, I pose a question to the theologian. I pose it here this morning. What would be better than these that entered heaven? What could reach heaven? What could go to heaven which was better than these which he speaks of? But the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifice than these. Verse 24 tells you, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Where did he enter in? Where did Jesus enter in? Jesus Christ entered into heaven. I want you to hear it. I want you to know it. I want you to understand it here today. Jesus Christ entered heaven. What's that mean? That means that a voice that represents you in heaven, that means that the high priest that represents you in heaven. And when God says, but look what he done, look what he done, this man Jesus points to his blood and he says, Father, my blood cleanses from all sin. You sent me to the cross. I went. I was a willing sacrifice. I gave my life's blood to save them. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful that someone's standing for you and standing for me, and his name is Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Where's he appearing? In the presence of God for us. He's appearing at the highest place there can be, appearing for us with his sprinkled blood, with his precious blood. Verse 25, nor yet did he should offer himself often. I want every priest on this earth to hear this. I want every priest on this earth to hear this message. You cannot re-offer Christ again. Jesus Christ was offered once and for all and can never be re-offered. It is blasphemy to offer him again. It is a sin of wickedness. It is a sin of sins to offer him again. He can never be re-offered. Never, never. He was only offered once and for all. Oh, you say, brother, you're getting excited. You better believe it. I want to tell you that our country is held with priestcraft. Priestcraft holds the thousands today. Priestcraft holds them. For they reoffer Jesus every service. They reoffer him. And next week they'll reoffer him again. But the word of God says once and for all. You cannot, you must not reoffer him. Don't tell me that Jesus hasn't done enough. He done so much that God was satisfied and God was appeased. The word of God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Nor yet that he should offer himself often. As the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, it can never be offered again. Not with the blood of others, but with his own blood. Christ sprinkled the mercy seat of God with his own blood. I want you to get to number six, and I'm not going to hold you as long. I'm not going to try and preach all this sermon this morning. I want you to remember these things I'm saying are important. You say we've heard it before, well, you're hearing it again. Every Christian should rejoice when they hear the blood preached. You should be fit to go back in your life, in your memory, along the road of life to a place and a time where you washed and you bathed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Number six, the possibility of the blood speaking. Oh, we saw last week how the blood speaks. Hebrews 12:24 tells us, Genesis 4, verse 3 to 12. And that's the whole story about Cain slaying Abel. And we saw last week how Cain slew Abel. And he thought it was all done and all dusted when he slew him. He slew him because Abel was accepted and he wasn't. He slew him, he got angry. Isn't it amazing that religions that are false get angry when they're challenged with real Christian religion? They get angry. Does it sound familiar? Why are we seeing in the world today, don't we? They say they're following religions, then they go out and slay people and kill them and murder them. That's Cain religion. Cain get angry. He get angry because when he offered his best to God, God said it won't do. Your best won't do. Your best and my best won't do. We could never ever climb to heaven with our own works or with our own religion. Abel knew that. Abel knew it. Abel recognized till it was revealed to Abel by faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, in which he found favor with God. I tell you, Cain was so wroth with Abel, he slew his own brother. Slew him in the field, killed him, murdered him. And there's people today would murder you, that kill you. Oh yes, they're still about. The Bible's clear, it says, no murderer will enter heaven. And I tell you, Cain slew his brother. The freshly shed blood of Abel cried to God from the ground and was heard by God and answered by God. Blood speaks. Yes, blood speaks. Can it speak? The tokens speak. Yes. We saw already in Exodus that the blood speaks. Hallelujah. The voice of the blood of Abel cried against Cain. Hebrews 12:24. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things. The blood speaks. How can chemistry speak? Because it's the life that's in that blood that speaks. It's more than just the chemistry. There's a life in the blood that does the speaking. Just like there was a life in Abel that spoke to God. Abel had a soul. You have a soul. And God loves your soul. And he doesn't want any to perish. Oh, I tell you, it was a soul in Abel cried out. It was a life that was in Christ that cried out. Better things. It speaks loud. It's the Holy Spirit. It speaks clean. Praise God. It constantly and eternally speaks better things than out of evil. Constantly and eternally speaks better things than out of Abel's. And Abel's blood spoke. Aren't you glad the blood has spoke for you? Aren't you glad the blood has spoke for you? You say, Brother Tom, we're saved, we don't need to hear it. That's for your wrong. You would be surprised at the Christians that are defeated, that are downcast, because there's a wee devil comes into their ear and tells them, your prayers are not being answered because there's a sin still pending. Well, I have something to tell that wee devil today. You're a liar to start with, devil. Not only are you a liar, but my Bible is the authority, and this book says you're the father of lies. And I want to tell you, devil, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Will you come to the fountain? Oh, there's a fountain open today. There is a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins. For guilty sinners plunged beneath the floods shall lose all their guilty stains. The precious blood of Jesus. I tell you, my friend, if you're saved and the enemy's been giving you a tough time, I want you in your car today to be real. Want you to be real. Want you to say out with a loud voice, devil, you are a liar. The blood of Jesus speaks for me. I have a representative. Are you hearing me? You have a representative. I have a representative. He's seated at the highest place that heaven affords, the right hand of the Majesty on High. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. I tell you, there's a man in the glory praying for me. There is a man in the glory praying for you. His name is Jesus. God has accepted him. God has accepted his blood. His blood has sprinkled the throne room of God. Therefore, you can call the blessing down. His blood has sprinkled the throne room of God. Therefore, salvation is available. Not only is blood sprinkled it, not only is salvation available, not only is the blessing available, but the voice of his blood is speaking, and is speaking loud, and is speaking clear, and it speaks and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It speaks and it says, by my stripes you're healed. It speaks those things. It speaks them loud and it speaks them clear. It speaks and it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul doth prosper. It speaks and it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll trample on scorpions. They'll cast out devils. That's what the blood speaks. Speaks to the wee woman on the street corner that there seems to be no hope for, and it says there's hope for you. Speaks to the drug addict that's bound with narcotics, and it says if you'll only come, there's hope. It speaks to the drunkard, and it says come and drink the living water and you'll never thirst for this stuff no more. It speaks. Blood speaks. It speaks to every demon. It speaks to every power. It conquers them. It defeats them. The blood of Jesus Christ is our message. The blood of Jesus Christ is our victory. I tell you, it's real today. It's as it was all them years ago. Not with the blood of others, but with his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I want to read you this statement by C.H. Spurgeon as I close. See how red your guilt, mark the scarlet stain. If you were to wash your soul in the Atlantic Ocean, you might incarnate every wave that washes all its shores. And yet the crimson spots of your transgression would still remain, but plunge into the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and in an instant you're whiter than the snow. Every speck, every spot, every stain of sin is gone, and gone forever. Oh, I want you to be encouraged. You that see today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged that when you kneel to pray in your home, or wherever you kneel to pray, I want you to know that the blood speaks for you. The blood is there to represent you. The blood is there to cleanse you. If you have fallen short, if you have made a mistake, the blood of Jesus is available. You can wash in it. You can clean in it. It'll make you whiter than the driven snow. I'm closing in this. I remember praying in my room in my mother's house. I was bound, fettered by the devil. Suicidal, all sorts of thoughts. And I was wakened late into the night. I didn't know the Bible then like I know it now. But a voice clearly spoke to me, and the voice said to me, Isaiah 1, verse 18. And it repeated and repeated, and I had to rise from bed. And I got the Bible and I opened it and I read, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What's the verse 19 say? It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. But if ye rebel and refuse, ye shall be cut off with a sword. I want to tell you on that scripture, I needed nobody to come in and lay hands on me. I needed no suitcase revival, or no special meeting, or no special preacher, or no special pope. But I want to make this clear. I knew that God spoke to me from His word. And that night when God spoke to me from His word, and I yielded to the Spirit of God, I was set free immediately, on the spot, that moment, delivered by the power of God. And I tell you, my friend, if you're chasing round here and chasing round there for some special man, you're doing wrong. There's only one special man. And that's the man that's in this book. And that man is Jesus. And I want you to come to Him. I don't want you to come to me. I want you to come to Jesus Christ. I want you to give your all to Jesus Christ. And He'll take you as you are. Not only will He take you, but He'll change you. He'll transform you. You'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let us bow our heads this morning. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for your precious word. We know that your word is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray you will bless thy word to each dear heart. Pray for your own people listening in. Pray for the spirit of condemnation that will be lifted. Pray, Lord, that your people will get the victory over every demon and over every devil. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of anxiety and guilt in the name of Jesus Christ. And I do by faith plead the precious blood of the Lamb of God on each and every one of us this morning. Father, I pray for the backslidden listening in today. May the Spirit of God move them. May the Spirit of God woo them. May the Spirit of God bring them to their senses and to the bath, to the fountain of blood of Jesus, to wash afresh. Lord, I pray for the unsaved. Pray, God, you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Pray you'll open their understanding, Open their eyes with the eye salve of your Spirit. Bring them to the saving knowledge of truth. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, we do commit ourselves to thee. We ask for those that are sick. Lord, that you'll heal them. Lord, that you'll raise them up. You are the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus. And we know you're here this morning. Father, have thy way, we pray. While the voice of the speaker silent, move on. Bless the song leader as he comes. Bless your people. And may you get all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Don't forget, we'll be tuning in again at 4:30. Maybe we'll continue if the Lord leads. God bless each one.
Let us turn to number 336. Blessed be the fountain of blood to the world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God, only by his stripes are we healed. 336 in our devotional books, if you've got them, please join in.
Blessed be the fountain of blood to wander far from his fold, bringing to my heart pain and woe. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, whiter than the snow, whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Thorny was the crown that he wore, and the cross his body o'ercame. Grievous were the sorrows he bore, but he suffered us not in vain. May I to that fountain be led, then you cleanse my sins here below. Wash me in the blood that he shed, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than the snow, whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood. That fountain of thine, leaning on thy promise I go. Cleanse me by thy washing divine, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than the snow, whiter than the snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb.
Father, we thank you indeed that you made provision when you sent forth your only begotten Son to shed his precious life's blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that that blood is a ransom for many. We pray, Lord, this morning, indeed, that we'll take note of the power of that blood, and indeed that blood shall never lose its power. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are remain the same yesterday and today and forever. We pray, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, that indeed you'll bless each one that's been gathered here. Indeed, Lord, that your word will continue, Lord, to minister unto each and every one of us. And Lord, also to those, Lord, who's been listening in via Facebook or via the internet, we pray, Lord, that your word will continue to speak and minister on, even as the voice of the preacher is silent. We pray the Holy Ghost will continue the work. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us, Lord, as we go, Lord, and take each one to their places, Lord, homes in safety. And we pray, Lord, that also that, Lord, for the service this afternoon, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless it. And Lord, for Lord, even our brother Keith Malcolmson, Lord, in the fellowship there, we pray you'll bless them. Bless our sister Lila, Lord, she celebrates her 80th birthday yesterday. We pray you'll bless her. And we just ask you, Lord, for all family members near and dear, we pray, Lord, that you'll indeed, once again, we ask you'll save the unsaved, restore the backslider. And Lord, keep your people, Lord, in perfect peace, let their minds be steadfast upon you. And Lord, for those that need healing, heal them, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Lord, for brethren across the world, Lord, that we fellowship with, Lord, we think of them, our brother Howard, our brother Brad, brother Brad McFadden, and we just ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed you'll bless each and every one. And Lord, bless the congregations, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for the fellowship, Lord, in Arizona. Lord, that you'll deliver them, Lord, and heal them from this coronavirus in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, for believers all over the world that would suffer, we pray you'll touch them. Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, now we just give you glory, honor, and praise, and we bless your holy name, and accept of our thanks and our worship this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. I'm just going to sing a little chorus as we go. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Lord bless you.
I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation on Him shall be sweet. I will be glad.
Salvation.